Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We welcome in the Hall of Famer, John McClain, presented by HornSolutions.net. John, good to see you. Good morning.
Good to be here, guys. Thank you very much, as always.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you, John. We got a lot of stuff to get into with you today. We just got done talking about where the Texans are in their head coaching search. So there are four candidates in here. Has anything that you've seen so far changed your opinion on where the Texans are going with their next head coach?
Absolutely not. I think it'll be somebody with New England background, Brian Flores. I think they're interviewing guys just so when they hire somebody, they can say, we considered people without Patriot backgrounds. But you never know. I remember when Mike Tomlin was hired, he'd been a coordinator 1 year, 31 years old. Everybody thought it was going to be their offensive line coach, Russ Graham. And then Tomlin just blew him away. So maybe somebody, one of these young guys comes in here, like Brandon Staley did. He'd been a coordinator 1 year, and he blew away the Chargers and got the head coaching job. So maybe that'll happen, but I sure doubt it. I believe the way the Texans are set up, with Jack Easter be so involved in everything and Nick Caserio being a coach at practice and being on the headset at games like he was at New England, I think a lot of coaches would be like, whoa. And I know he told you all that if they asked, that he explains it to them. But, so I think it would have to be somebody younger or somebody older and desperate or somebody from New England.
Why have they not, just real quick, Seth, why have they not requested an interview with Gerard Mayo yet?
No idea.
Okay. You think they still will?
Yeah.
Okay.
If Jack Easterby has anything to say about it.
What's that?
He said if Jack Easterby has anything to say about
it. Oh, yeah, yeah. So what did you think of what Nick Caserio said about Jack Easterby yesterday?
Well, first of all.
Hold on. Do you want to play it first so people know what we're talking about here? Want to play? Okay. Here's what. Let's get Caserio 5, Ben. Easterby's role in the evaluation that led to the firing of David Culley.
Yeah, I know it's been, you know, Jack's been a hot topic for a lot of people. You know, I'd say candidly, you know, probably some of the criticism has been unfair. I think Jack has an important role from an operational and logistics standpoint. I mean, that's what he was brought here to do. That's his role in the football operation. You know, I've talked about this last spring. You know, anything as it pertains to making football decisions, whether it's players, contract signings, those types of things, those fall under scouting, draft analysis, those are all fall under my jurisdiction. So I would say when you look at a football operation in its entirety, it takes a number of different people. It takes a lot of people to actually make sure that it functions and operates, you know, at a good level. So I would say I have a lot of respect and appreciation for the job that Jack does. And you know, candidly, not a lot of people probably really understand the nuts and bolts of it, but when you actually get a chance to spend time with Jack, I mean, I think you realize it's probably not as bad as everybody makes it out to be. So I'd say from his perspective, it's always been on an operational kind of a logistics standpoint. And there's certain areas that maybe fall under his jurisdiction that, you know, we'll communicate about. And I can handle the football areas. And then, you know, if there's something that we need to talk about collectively as a whole, whether it's myself, Jack, the head coach, whomever it is, then those lines of communication are open. So I don't see that really changing going forward. It's been pretty consistent, you know, candidly, other than maybe a couple months, you know, there in whatever it was, 2020. Mm-hmm. But, you know, look, I mean, Jack's been a punching bag since he's got here. You know, some of it, I think, quite frankly, is a little bit unjust. But, I mean, everybody has an opinion, and they're certainly entitled to their opinion. But, you know, we'll just kind of keep moving forward.
So there you go, John.
Well, first of all, nothing in there is new. We've talked a million times about it. He's got it in his contract. He makes final say on everything, has final say on everything involving personnel, but that does Mean Jack Easterby's not giving him his opinion on personnel, which he does. And he did with O'Brien. And O'Brien had final say on personnel, too. What I took away from that, other than the punching bag part, was him saying some of the criticism, not all of it, most of it, a lot of it, some of it. And, well, that means some of it is just. And nothing there ever say is going to change people's minds about Easterby and his role. Too many people who've been there in the past, who are there now, talk about he likes to get involved in everything. And like, for instance, having him have any kind of role in media relations is preposterous. The McNairs are dumb. Jack, stay out of media relations. That's Greg Grissom's job. Greg has media relations under his department, and Greg Grissom does a great job. In fact, if the personnel department was as good as the administrative department, they'd be in the playoffs. But Easterby, he has a role in a lot of things, but Casario has final say.
What does Jack Easterby do with the media relations?
He just got a lot to do with it. You'd have to be over there and see how it operates.
But are you not happy with the way it operates?
I think it would operate great if he wasn't involved at all. If he had no say-so whatsoever in anything, because he doesn't know squat about media relations. He doesn't know squat about telling coaches how to talk and the owner how to talk and things like that.
And I guess this is interesting to me because you obviously have a whole lot of experience with different coaching staffs, different GMs, how they work with the media. So I guess would you characterize it as meddling with like the media people that are trying to do their job?
Meddling, that's a great way to put it, meddling. Okay. They have a tremendous media relations department. Cal McNair knows it, Hannah McNair knows it, and Greg Grissom knows it. And they shouldn't have to have anything to do with Jack Easterby when it comes to media. He knows about as much about media as I do performance surgery. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't try to get involved in operating on people because I know nothing about it.
So I guess that's where, and to kind of make that jibe with other things you've heard about Jack Easterby in various parts of the organization, like it feels to you like Jack Easterby does that with other departments the same way he does with media relations. Is that fair to say?
Well, I don't know exactly because he's got so much underneath him. You know, he's everything the general manager doesn't want to do. Like last year, Bill O'Brien had control of personnel, so he wanted to do personnel and he wanted to do coaching. So all the other things that come under the general manager's auspices on the personnel side of the operation, he relied on Easterby. And Jack might be good at that. You know, we're not over there. He's over medical, rehab, nutrition. He's over a lot of stuff, and GMs need somebody to do that. That's why you're head of football operations. But that thing about being involved in media relations, to me, is preposterous.
If you were a prospective head coach for this opening, John, and you were going in and you were getting ready to ask questions of the Texans, would you be more concerned about the vagueness or needing to know what Jack Easterby's role is, or would you be more concerned with Nick Casario's role on game day involvement on the headset and things like that?
Now, I would want Casario involved. You've got people in your ear during the game. You know, they got people in there supposed to be helping you with replays and clock management and all those things because they have a different vantage point. Casario's been doing this long enough, and he's been in the league long enough, and he's a former coach. He's a former scout. And
probably good at it.
And he's a former player. And so I would want him up there. As far as what he does in practice, who cares? It's not like he's doing like Al Davis used to. They said like an offensive line coach is showing a tackle a technique, and Al may come out to practice and see the tackle and say, hey, here's the way we want it done. It's not the same way. You know, that's not the way Casario operates. I would have no problem with Nick Casario. If I'm a head coach, I would like working for Casario, but I'd want it in my contract. I only answer to Casario.
Yep.
Yeah, Al Davis was I've heard those same stories, John, that he'd come over, like a defensive line coach would be doing drills. Al Davis would come over and say, no, this is how you do it. And then he'd coach some technique from like the 1970s. Like a
60s,
a
not
shiver
70s.
Or something, you know, yeah. But you know the old forearm shiver before you were allowed to use your hands?
Here's how you do the head slap.
In the defensive line coach. Yeah, would just have to kind of sit there and
Lines
nod his head.
Teaching him the head slap.
Well, the head slap,
was
legal then, so right. You could teach it to him. In the 50s, Al was a coach, and then he was a coach for Sid Gilman on those early AFL teams before he became an executive. So he loved the coaching part of it. And when he was at practice, he coached.
Yeah. John, who would you like to see added to the interview? Let's pretend we live in a world where they're not going with somebody from the Patriots tree for a second. Who would you like to see most added to their interview list?
Well, first of all, I mean, considered anybody without a New England background. I'll tell you somebody that I can't figure out why they're not talking to. Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator of Buffalo. Last year, he was a hot property. And he'd been with the Patriots two times. So he and Caserio know each other very well. And he and Caserio and Easterby had the same agent, Bob Lamont. Hmm. But he didn't get an interview, just like Josh McDaniels didn't get an interview. Maybe I haven't seen Brian Daboll mentioned with the Texans. The only thing we hear mentioned about the Texans with McDaniels is they haven't reached out to him. Now, maybe they have and it'll pop out, but he and Nick go all the way back to college. Mm-hmm. So you'd think he'd be one they want to bring in. And Mayo has had one interview. I think he'll get more, even though he only has 3 years of experience. People always thought he'd be a coach. They say the same things about Gerard Mayo they used to say up there about Mike Vrabel.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.